Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today. And as I told you before the break, I'm excited to talk to Jonathan Horn, not just because he's a former speechwriter of George W. Bush, but also that he's got a new book coming out called The Fate of Generals MacArthur, Wainwright, and the Epic Battle for the Philippines. So this is my chance to talk about not just the book and what he has to say about generals, but also just to talk about military preparedness in general, because that's a very strong topic for me. Jonathan Horn, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk St. Louis.
Thanks so much for having me today.
So I'm excited about your book, and I know that it's coming out soon. We'll talk about it when it's coming out. But let's get a flavor for this, because as I was perusing the book last night, as I'm looking at the topics and reading a lot of the in-depth material that you provide, one of the things that I learned is this, because we all know General MacArthur. I mean, he's famous, but yet General MacArthur owes a lot of his fame, doesn't he, to General Jonathan Mayhew Wainwright?
That's exactly right. Everybody is so familiar with that famous vow that Douglas MacArthur made after receiving orders to leave his army in the Philippines in 1942 and escape to the safety of Australia, where he said, "I shall return." But very few people remember the vow that MacArthur's, the second highest ranking general in the Philippines, a man named General Wainwright, made after MacArthur left. And his vow was he was going to stay in the Philippines and share the fate of his men, even when that meant becoming the highest ranking American prisoner of war of the Japanese during World War II. And so it seemed to me, as you said, you couldn't understand the vow that Douglas MacArthur made to return to the Philippines unless you understood the story of the man who bravely stayed with his troops and became a prisoner of the Japanese.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Philippines and World War II, because typically when you talk about some of the more well-known theaters of war when it comes to World War II, the Philippines doesn't necessarily rank high up in the public knowledge of a theater of war when it came to the Philippines. So just kind of give us an overview before we dive into some details about General Wainwright or General Douglas, but how critical were the Philippines to the battle against Japan in World War II?
That's a great question. You're right. Most people don't think about the Philippines as a critical front in World War II, but it was a critical front. In fact, the Philippines were American soil. They were an American colony, and it was Douglas MacArthur's father, Arthur MacArthur, who led the very first American troops into the city of Manila in 1898 during the Spanish-American War and saw the American flag raised above the city. In years afterwards, American strategists in Washington realized that it would be very hard to defend the Philippines in the event of war with Japanese. And the reason is sort of obvious. If you look at the map, the Japanese could bring so many more troops to the Philippines before reinforcements could come across the ocean, Pacific Ocean, from the United States. And they realized that our forces in the Philippines might be in serious trouble in the event of war with Japan. And that is exactly what happened. In fact, just this week, we observed the anniversary of the largest surrender of American forces in history. It happened on April 9th, 1942, on the Bataan Peninsula, when nearly 80,000 United States forces surrendered to the Japanese.
And when we talk about the nuclear bomb that was dropped that ended World War II, the nuclear bombs, I should say, I remember that in history class, obviously I wasn't around then, but reading and studying this idea that the issue that was facing Harry Truman at the time was, if the war, it just ends, then there's always going to be these battles that are going to be going on some of these islands. And so I know that the justification of dropping the bomb was to try to get a unilateral surrender of Japan in order to force the fighting that would happen on these outlying islands to come to a close. Did any of that impact any of the battles that were going on the Philippines?
You know, what's interesting is the Japanese themselves didn't really believe in surrender. And that was something that American commanders discovered over and over again when they faced the Japanese in the Pacific. And that was something that even Wainwright, before he had the terrible task of having to surrender his army to the Japanese, discovered himself. And so you can imagine what that meant for a prisoner of the Japanese to be a prisoner of an enemy who doesn't believe in surrender. It means they have no respect for you whatsoever, torture you, abuse you. And I think that had to weigh heavily on President Truman. He knew what it would cost American forces to invade the main islands of Japan.
Yes.
To try to end this war, and the terrible cost of life that it would take. And to be honest, it would have been just catastrophic for this country, and the bomb really was the only way out of this.
We're talking to Jonathan Horn. He's a former speechwriter for George W. Bush, and also the author of a brand new book that's coming out called The Fate of Generals, MacArthur, Wainwright, and the Epic Battle for the Philippines. And Jonathan, when is your book coming out?
It's coming out on April 15th, which is next week, next Tuesday. It's tax day, but this is a more pleasant way to spend your money on this book.
And why is it, do you think, that we all know of Douglas MacArthur, and I don't know that present-day Americans can truly understand how much of a force of nature that Douglas MacArthur was in the 1940s and 1950s. Give us a sense here for a modern audience of just how big a figure Douglas MacArthur was in that 40s to 50s time frame.
You know, you put it very well. MacArthur really was America's most famous soldier entering World War II. And when he did reach Australia, he made that famous vow, "I shall return to the Philippines." And it wasn't yet American policy to necessarily return, but the force of MacArthur's words alone became a national commitment. It was a sort of an example of a general setting national policy with his words. And there were those in the years that followed 1942 who thought returning to the Philippines was a detour from the ultimate goal of defeating Japan. But MacArthur felt it was a moral obligation for our country. The Philippines were American soil. They were an American colony. His father had helped make it so. We had been forced out of those islands at the point of a bayonet. And the only proper way to return was with our own bayonets and to take them back from the Japanese. And that's exactly what Douglas MacArthur did when he landed in the Philippines in 1944.
And wasn't part of it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert here, not me, but wasn't part of the motivation of MacArthur to go back to the Philippines, obviously to retake the Philippines because it was technically American soil, but wasn't another part of his motivation to try to bring home some of the captured American soldiers that were still being held in the Philippines?
That's exactly right. There were still prisoners being held in the Philippines, and MacArthur wanted to get to them as fast as he possibly could. Now, the Japanese had taken a number of the prisoners they had taken in the Philippines and sent them to other places. Wainwright himself went from the Philippines to various prisons in Taiwan, eventually all the way to Manchuria, if you can believe it, where he was facing negative 49 degree temperatures. And he was spending the war in 1945. And we think about that, of course, we think there's only a few months left in the war. But Wainwright was so isolated, he had no idea what was happening in the outside world. You can see in his diary, he thought he was going to be a prisoner at least until 1947.
And again, I'm trying to compare and contrast from a modern day viewpoint, but I know most Americans will remember John McCain and the endurance that he had to exhibit when he was being held captive during the Vietnam War. So when you look at General Wainwright, what kind of torture did he have to endure? You just mentioned freezing temperatures, but what other types of torture did he have to endure?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Door.
The Japanese would beat him. They would systematically starve the prisoners. His weight, this is a 6'2" man. His weight falls down within months of being captured by the Japanese to 125 pounds. And to be honest, he's getting slightly better treatment than lower ranking officers and lower ranking soldiers are too. And this is from the Japanese treating, this is America's highest ranking general in captivity, and he's being treated this way. And of course, there's other forms of torture too, isolation,
yes.
Long periods passed with no word from the outside world. And also Wainwright is thinking, as he is a prisoner, that Americans will never understand the decision he made to surrender for the sake of his men. And of course, that doesn't end up being the case. He returns to a hero's welcome in the United States in September 1945 and receives a ticker tape parade in New York City and does receive the Medal of Honor from President Harry Truman.
We're talking to Jonathan Horn, who is the author of the coming book, coming out next week, The Fate of Generals, MacArthur, Wainwright, and the Epic Battle for the Philippines. And Jonathan, before we change topics here, I want to talk about military preparedness today. But before we get to that, one more thing about MacArthur. His zeal for returning to the Philippines, retaking American what was American land, and also recovering American POWs. That attitude, that zeal, don't we see that to some extent carrying forward even to today when it comes to the desire of Americans to make sure that we recover those who have given the greatest sacrifice they can for our country in terms of dying for our country or being captured for our country?
Absolutely. And it's all part of the attitude of leave no man behind. And of course, for MacArthur, you can imagine how personal it was, because he had actually received orders from President Roosevelt to leave behind his army to starvation and surrender in the Philippines and go to Australia, which does, you know, feel a lot like the captain deserting the sinking ship. It wasn't his idea to go. He received orders to do it. And so you can imagine how personal this vow was to General MacArthur to fulfill it. I can't think of any example in history of a general having such a personal connection to the mission he was asked to take it, carry out.
And I want to pivot just a little bit here. We're talking to Jonathan Horn, the author of The Fate of Generals, MacArthur, Wainwright, and the Epic Battle for the Philippines. But Jonathan, when I look today, and I'm looking at today through the lens of history, I know that before World War I, the United States was not very strong militarily. If you look at World War II, before World War II, we had the same situation where we weren't necessarily strong militarily. What lessons can we learn from that as we look to today at the possibility of what's called near-peer adversaries, Russia and China, the possibility of China invading Taiwan, or blockading Taiwan? What lessons from history can we learn about military preparedness today?
You know, that's a fabulous question. And of course, as you look at that region of the world right now, the United States remains treaty-bound to defend the Philippines, which of course touches the South China Sea, where the Chinese are making grand control of that body of water. And you see confrontations between Philippine vessels and Chinese vessels ramming into them. So it is a spot with high tensions. As to the lesson, I think the best lesson is the lesson that Wainwright himself drew when he finally did leave prison and return to America in September 1945. And it's national preparedness, making these investments in our military. Basically, I think in the years leading up to World War II, strategists realized that it was going to be impossible to defend the Philippines in the event of war with Japanese, and our forces ended up paying a terrible cost over there for that unpreparedness, because our country was not willing at that point in our history, as you said, to bear the burdens of being a great military power.
Well, and last question, because we're coming up at the end of the segment, Jonathan, but as I follow military trends today, I know there was a period of time where the Philippines wanted to distance themselves militarily, economically, relationally from the United States. And yet today we see the Army basing what's called the Typhoon missiles in the Philippines as a hedge against China. China doesn't like that. You already referenced the hassling that China is doing against the Philippines. So because of China, are we seeing a growing or a return, rather, to a connection or a return relationally between the United States and the Philippines?
I think absolutely. And Pete Hegseth was just in the Philippines, and he said that this was an area of the world where our allies were going to see we were going to invest in a way that was unprecedented. And I think, we have these bonds with the Philippines. And in fact, it really does go back to MacArthur keeping his vow to the island during World War II. People still remember that in the Philippines. And it's going to be very important as we go forward and tensions continue to rise with China.
Jonathan Horn, author of the book The Fate of Generals, MacArthur, Wainwright, and the Epic Battle for the Philippines, on sale April 15th next week. Jonathan, thanks so much for taking just a little bit of your valuable time to join us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk St. Louis.
Thanks so much for having me.
I could talk to that guy all day long. And I'm hopefully it was as enjoyable for you as it was for me. Hey, when we come back, we've got some more news to discuss, to break down. News that you may not hear anywhere else other than right here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. The company lost the war.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Leawood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. That's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.